Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say podcast. Just a couple of us this evening to discuss a win at West Brom. Seem to have a bit of a wood over them in recent times. Joining myself, Gareth Barker, to discuss that victory and some other bits and bobs that happen at Sunderland at the moment is Jimmy Ray. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
All right, yeah.
Good.
All right. It's kind of weird, isn't it, at the moment, where you're kind of like, thinking about this morning, how it must be the first season in about 10 years where it's kind of just been done already.
Yeah, I mean, with three games to go, there wasn't many scenarios in the Prem where we were safe with three games to go.
Obviously, Bruce season, probably.
Yeah, like 2010, maybe something like that. It's like 14 years ago.
2011.
Pretty depressing, but I think we'll be relegated by this point, maybe under Moyes. I don't know, not quite, maybe three games,
but we're in like we'd be in the relegation battle, and
we'd had the drama of that. I mean,
it was a thing.
We've maybe the last 2 months we've just sort of petered, the whole thing's just sort of petered out, really, hasn't it? Yeah,
blodded on.
Very much. He very much saw into the future there, speaking, didn't he, when he said that, but. Yeah, I think it's. I mean, I guess this is one of them where some clubs have this a lot of seasons, don't they? So maybe isn't in isolation having one season without any drama at the end isn't the worst thing in the world. But obviously, if you look back on where we were, it does very much feel like a missed opportunity to have done something this year. I think it's a bit sad, really.
Let's not go negative straight away.
And yeah, fact, true,
especially
actually,
you.
That's not like me, is it? No. What am I doing?
I mean, we won.
We did win, yeah. It was a really good win, actually. To be fair,
I mean, covertly being able to defend, apart from against Blackburn, that's what we've learned, I think, in the last two.
Yeah, we and then obviously Blackburn get pubbed by Bristol City, who we drew with the game before. Yeah. It's very Championship, isn't it? Really, I mean, I think the defense. I mean, I was at Leeds on Tuesday, and I watched the game on Saturday, and. Yeah, both games, really, really good defensive performances against teams who obviously are Leeds obviously are in the playoff positions fighting for automatics, and West Brom are very comfortably in the playoffs as well. So two teams who on paper you'd suggest would be looking to beat us, but it shows maybe we still have got it a bit in flashes. Not so much going forwards. We haven't scored a lot of goals recently, but defensively, certainly. I mean, I think even before the red card, although obviously West Brom had more of the ball, I think it was kind of similar to Tuesday, where Leeds had a lot of sort of shots and obviously they had a couple of dodgy penalty appeals that they weren't given. But I wouldn't say it was like real back to the wall the whole time. And I think West Brom, we kind of kept them at arm's length to an extent on Saturday, definitely. It was very weird, I thought, of them targeting Ballard as much as they did. I've seen on Twitter a couple of West Brom fans kind of moaning about that, saying that he basically, and the crowd sort of booing him. I think that kind of their players sort of maybe bought into that whole thing a bit much. And obviously he was able to basically just wind them up. It seemed that Thomas Asante, I mean, if that was a Sunderland player, you'd be fuming, wouldn't you, really? I mean, what was he trying to do?
I mean, especially after you've just been booked to go and do it.
And at that point in the game as well, like, it's the first half. Like, what? Like, and they're the team that needed to win the game. I mean, we obviously for pride and league position would want to win it. But if you're in a position that they're in, where obviously although they're comfortable in the playoffs, every position counts really in the playoffs, doesn't it, in terms of where you want to finish. And they're only a point ahead of Norwich now. So not really what they'd have been wanting. But I thought from our point of view, it was a lovely, lovely goal from Ekwa. Great ball in from Styles, I must say. He's been a bit better the last couple of games. I know obviously he was very much sort of like criticised, I think quite rightly so, for his early performances. But I think since he's been playing sort of left wing back, he seems a lot more at home. Obviously at Leeds on Tuesday, I was quite near the front and I had a sort of good view of Pembele in the first half and him in the second half. I think on both sides of this formation, both wing backs, him and Pembele in both games have played really quite well, to be fair. Styles obviously has a good dead ball threat as well. Like I said, the ball in for the corner, Ekwa scored for him with a very trademark sort of cool, calm finish, wasn't it? It's almost like he almost just sort of nonchalantly slotted it, but the technique to do that is really quite impressive at the same time.
Yeah, it was a nice sort of little cushion into the corner. And see, I think obviously the sending off did have a bearing on the game, and that's not taking away anything from us for the win. But it was weird because after that sending off, it almost like they went to set the Styles, you just can just play it anywhere you like, because he was popping up in all sorts of different positions, and you know, he did have a good game. Whether
he was quite intelligent, I thought, in doing that, because he was exploiting our man advantage quite well, wasn't he? In the way he was sort of really. They didn't know where he was going to be next when he was popping up. So, like you say, yeah, I think it was a really quite good performance from a guy who really, I think, probably has needed that, given that he had a relatively poor start from when we signed him.
I think you know, my kind of feeling on him is still we need probably better than him. And that's not been. I just think if we're going to kick on next year, he needs to be. We need to be targeting better players. I mean, it'd be all right player to have in the squad because
good squad
he's
player.
He's got a lot of games at championship level.
For his young age, he's got a lot. It's like what you've mentioned a few times about experience. It's always about age. I remember having this conversation with you on another pod where we were saying like Ballard was young, but he had obviously a lot of games for a lad of that age, and Styles is kind of similar in that regard. Not at the same level as Ballard, but I think like you say, he's got experience in appearances, if not in age. And I think for me, like you say, probably squad player, useful. I wouldn't want to spend a lot of money on him, but at the same time, I wouldn't be against having him, you know, next season if the deal could work. But like you say, for a starter, I wouldn't necessarily. I think we do need to be looking higher, like you say, because obviously we've got the emergence of Pembele as a right wing back. I mean, obviously it's very early days for him too, but he seems to have quite a lot of attributes that maybe indicate
forward,
his ceiling maybe a bit higher.
Do you think? I think going forward he looks quite tidy, maybe defensively, but you know he's barely.
I mean, his pace. I noticed in the flesh on Tuesday, he is seriously quick when he was getting back to track Somerville a couple of times. I mean, I don't know what it looked like on telly, but in the flesh, like he really was quite quick, and it was quite annoying because he was getting into good positions in lots of space, but he wasn't really getting the ball. I'm not sure if he maybe needs to work on his communication and stuff, but it's obviously early days and it's hard to tell. But I'd say there's definitely been positive signs from him. Like I said, his attributes seem certainly going forwards to be good, and defensive work obviously can be drilled into players, as we've seen with other players in the past who are quite young. It tends to come with experience of playing games. He's not going to get better while he's not playing. And he's obviously someone we've got tied down to a longer deal, so it's likely he'll be featuring more next season. So I guess we've got to just hope that he continues to progress, as he kind of has shown that he is starting to.
Well, he came with an injury, didn't he? So
really bad one as well, wasn't it?
It took him a while to get in. So, you know, he's looked erratic at times, but I mean, he's looked more solid in the last couple of games, and obviously we've had two clean sheets in those. So
he can't moan really about
the way he's played.
No, because his previous appearances earlier in the season were kind of off the bench into like games where, obviously, being very inexperienced as he is, he obviously didn't necessarily have the rhythm of the game. He came on against Preston, didn't he, when we were winning? Came on against Rotherham when we were losing, and then maybe a couple of other times as well. He kind of seemed to pass him by a bit, and obviously his positioning was pretty bad in a couple of them as well. But I think maybe starting games, it's easier to play your way in, isn't it? Because obviously you have more time and you're there from the very start of it. And he seems to definitely have looked a lot better when he started than when he's come on. So, against two decent teams, obviously Leeds and West Brom both have quite potent attacking threats. And he, you know, as part of a defensive unit that dealt with a lot of it quite comfortably, it's pretty fair play, to be fair, so far.
Yeah, it's we were hoping we'd probably pick up a little better once we made the change after Michael Beale left. Sorry, we kind of had Mike Dodds in charge and knew we would to the end of the season. We thought, you know, we'd probably have a few better results than we have, and it hasn't really worked out that way. So we've been linked with Danny Rowe in the last week, or there's been a story about Danny Rowe. But generally, it feels like it's been pretty quiet on the new manager search front. Or there's not been a lot of stories, and obviously we're building towards. But the season's going to be over in a fortnight, and then we've got the summer to get the squad ready for whatever the plan is next season. Like to think it would be looking towards being promoted.
I think it needs to be.
Maybe not necessarily being promoted, but certainly challenging.
Yeah, we don't want to fall away like we have, you know, because where we were on, if you just take New Year's Day as, you know, obviously pretty much the midpoint of the season, we were in sixth, I think, weren't we? And obviously we'd had a slight drop off from the back end of Mowbray. Then the pickup under Dodds, the three games, and then obviously Beale sort of had haphazard early results, a couple of bad ones, a couple of good. But then the drop off since the turn of the year, really, we can't have that again. A manager, really, we want to appoint someone with probably a bit of a long term, insofar as like we're definitely going to want someone who is going to be able to sort of carry us forward. Not just in the short term. So we need someone with a ceiling high enough whereby if we do achieve, we don't need to make another change. But also at the same time, we don't want somebody who's going to take a long time to get their methods in. I think Danny Rowe, just to talk about him, because you mentioned him, the way he turned went to Wednesday and basically is, although they're obviously still in the relegation zone, I think they pretty much had like no points when he took over, whereas they're now like by the standards of the other teams around them, but competitive.
They're only a point or two away from getting out.
Well, exactly. Yeah, he's made up a big gap, and I think if you look at the form charts, they're sort of mid-table, with obviously quite. I mean, we've seen when we played them early in the season how poor their squad looked as well. So it's not like he's been working with necessarily a good squad. I think he's hit the ground running there, and it's the type of way you'd like a manager to do coming into us to start the season. Obviously, I think with him, it might depend on what happens with them. If they stay up, they'll probably keep him. If they don't, then he might be looking elsewhere. Obviously, he'll be under contract, but I'm not sure if there'll be a clause in there about relegation. It might be easier to get him out of there if they do go down. Obviously, the other link names that have been discussed before, obviously, was Heckenbottom, who people have different opinions on, could work, maybe not that exciting. Obviously has got a promotion on his CV though, and has worked under challenging circumstances at Sheffield United, so that could work, but probably wouldn't be many people's first choice, I wouldn't have thought.
It kind of feels like Heckenbottom kind of feels inevitable, because it fits with the appointments that we have previously made.
Yeah.
Out of work,
obviously.
Yeah. And generally, British.
Yeah, it seems to be a reputation for working with young players and.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Whatever, similar to So what Mowbray did, I mean, obviously I know a fair bit about Sheffield United, given that I'm married to a Sheffield United fan, and they all loved him when he was there, to be fair. They were very much didn't blame the start of the season in the Prem on him, given that the two best players were sold, one of which without his knowledge, and various other things, the transfer embargo. He only signed one player for money when he was there the entire time, although he did obviously inherit a few other players that signed previously for large fees, but a lot of what made them good was how we worked with their younger players and just basically managed to galvanise them after a really bad start to a season. So I can see some positives, but obviously I'm not sure what his ceiling would be, really. I think it would be a very good job from his perspective to take, but I'm not sure whether he would be should be our first choice. I'd like to think we could maybe attract a... I don't really want to say a higher calibre necessarily, because he could well work, and he has got the promotion on his CV and stuff with them. But someone like, even like a Danny Roll and Will Still, I think would probably be both maybe more attractive to me than Heckenbottom. But I certainly can see the logic in the Heckenbottom appointment as well. So I wouldn't throw my toys out the pram if we did appoint him, but I wouldn't necessarily be that excited either.
The odd thing about Heckenbottom is he was available when Beale was available.
Well, exactly.
So, yeah. If
I mean, I don't know if you'd have taken the job that quick after the after
yeah,
the exit.
But but even so, it's like you yeah. know the date is the data.
Yeah, like, well, exactly. That's the thing.
Did we contact him? Did he say no? We don't know. I guess.
Well, he might have done, because he obviously he was pretty traumatic the way his tenure at Blades ended, wasn't it? So he might have wanted a bit of a yeah. rest after getting pumped 8-0. 5 years, whatever.
if he is the choice, it's just a bit odd that we haven't got him in.
No, agree. I would have thought that
just
by
to
now,
give him the chance to get his feet under the table, have you know, look at what he's got to work with, and then go into the summer and be a bit more knowledgeable about the squad in competitive football, not pre-season.
Exactly. I mean, I'd agree with that. I think which maybe makes me think he's not actually necessarily the first choice. Obviously, I mean, I'd be very surprised if he's not quite high up the list. But like you say, I think logic would dictate, and the data would dictate as well, that getting him in, if he was the first choice, would have made sense to have done already. So maybe there is someone who is currently in another job who they're prioritising, be it Danny Rowe, be it Will Still, be it another. Obviously, I've seen names mentioned like Steve Cooper and that. I mean, I think Steve Cooper, if I'm honest, will probably want another Prem job, would you say? Or maybe he might be quite lucky to get one. He's obviously been linked with the Wales job heavily as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, and obviously
he's Welsh, so that. But international management is kind of like putting yourself out to pasture a bit, isn't it? I think he'd probably want another crack at a big club. And I think it's just financially whether we could offer him what he'd ask for, probably not.
But I don't even think it's that. I just think it's a completely different... This job is a different job to other jobs you're being asked to work with.
The
players you're given. The conditions are that we've signed these young players, you've got to develop them, but also simultaneously compete in the league. So that's a tough task.
He had a bit of a mixture at Forest, didn't he? Because obviously there were players who clearly he was behind signing, like the ones
they did sign 400 players.
That's what I mean. But I'm pretty sure like some like the random like Turkish, Greek, Brazilian, French players they signed who barely played probably were signed by, because I think it's that Marinakis's son was the director of football for a bit, and I think he was pretty much just like signing anyone and anyone who he saw on Instagram. Read a bit on The Athletic about how he was very, very strange in the transfer days. But obviously there were players like Morgan Gibbs-White, obviously played under Cooper for England. A couple of other players as well. He signed from, I think he signed a couple of lads from Huddersfield who they beat in the playoff final. He'll probably be behind those. So he probably will want some control, and probably doesn't really... I mean, it depends what we're offering them, because the issue is it's what's offered versus how it pans out, because I don't necessarily think that what was offered to Beale would have necessarily, because it seemed like he almost was implying that the job was different to what he thought it was going to be, wasn't it? And obviously Mowbray didn't at first, but as time went on, he sort of had same issues, obviously, with the lack of striker, lack of experience, etc., etc. So are they selling the job differently to people than what it turns out to be, or is it just that people are getting sick of it when they take it? Or it's hard to work out. But for me, the strategy needs to change anyway. So
if you want to win, then, and if you know everyone wants to win, eventually you, when you're not winning, the kind of subplot to the whole thing, which is bringing the players in to develop them, kind of gets probably frustrating. But
yeah,
you know, the argument would be, well, you knew what you were signing up for, whether you agree with it or not.
Well, that's it. I'd like to think they weren't mis-selling the job, but obviously you don't know, do you? I think, like we've said, and obviously there was hints in, well, certainly there was headlines suggesting Dodds had hinted at a change in strategy. Anyway, I'm not sure how much he'd actually know about a change in strategy himself, but I think it's clear that the experience or more experience is needed, not necessarily in age. I'm not really bothered about how old a player is. It's as long as they're not too old or ridiculous. You know, it's more about how many games they've played regularly at the level or at a similar level. So it doesn't have to be in the Championship. It could be in a league abroad that has a similar level. It could be in League One if they've really stood out, because obviously players regularly move up to the Championship and move on again from League One. It's not that we have to be signing like well-known players. I just think it's more about having the consistency of games, experience, and obviously attributes that are going to impact the team, rather than, because obviously, like we mentioned, Callum Styles, his biggest drawback, but also probably one of his biggest plus points at the same time, is his versatility, because he's kind of like probably a 6-7 out of 10 maximum in three different positions. He's never going to give more than that. Doesn't really have like standout attributes that make you think, oh yeah, this guy's, he's not a game changer, but you do need players like that who can fill in. But we don't want to just be signing players like that players with potential. We definitely need to be looking at a bit more of a guarantee. Nothing's guaranteed, obviously. I mean, you can sign, you know, big name players and they turn out to be rubbish, but I guess it's the percentage chance of it, isn't it? And that's what needs to change in the summer for me. I think that, and obviously getting the manager in early so they can work with players on the training ground. Obviously, if they can have a bit more of an input into transfers, then obviously that would be great, because the earlier they start, the more impact they can have on that as well. And any good manager is going to want a level of control, aren't they? It's not like the olden days where managers have to have all the control, but I think the model we have is too far the other way. And I know we've discussed all this before, but I think now is the time for them to realise that, because if they don't change anything and the season starts badly again, then the pressure really is going to mount, I think, because there needs to be a visible recognition that they are sort of tweaking things.
Yeah, I think, you know,
people aren't going to have the patience that they've had, I don't think.
Well, we'll see, won't we? I think, you know, there probably needs to be some intention early doors across the board in terms of first to get the manager in, and then we need to see the kind of player that we need in that team to help some of the talented players that we've got.
On to the talented players as well. Statements of intent can be made by not selling certain players as well.
Yeah. We'll see about that.
Absolutely.
And if they do, the challenge is going to be reinvesting it. But off the pitch sort of stuff, or kind of half off the pitch, on the pitch, I guess. The thing that people have been clamouring for about 20 years has happened, in that Sunderland have partnered with Hummel for their kits for next season, and they did a little release today of some retro stuff.
Jackets and tops,
wasn't it? Yeah, so they look pretty nice.
Seem to have sold out. Certainly the jackets have, anyway, so that's good marketing, I guess.
Yeah. So that's a positive thing, and hopefully, given the clamour for this, hopefully we'll be well stocked with the kits so we can get them out there.
And, well, yeah, I mean, exactly, because hopefully there's no third party involvement that can limit the, you know, because there was issues with our frontline sort of point of sale issues, and then there was also stock issues in terms of not being able to get more from the company, whoever were doing the night shirts. Hopefully Hummel have a more robust distribution network, considering they're doing Premier League teams and other Championship teams at the minute. And to be fair, the kits are probably going to be nice. Football kits seem to be quite nice. I quite like a footy shirt. I'm not mad into them, but yeah, if you know, well, people want to buy them, it's a good way to get income into the club, isn't it? Like we always go on about how big our fan base is. It's a cash cow that needs to be milked a bit more maybe than it has been.
Yeah, I mean the quality, you know, some of the tat that they've tried to sell in the past is like abhorrent, but you know, there's nothing wrong with producing the kit and getting it out there and sold and having it available to buy in more than one place. So hopefully,
absolutely,
we start seeing, you know, it's you know I live in sort of Durham way, and the amount of Newcastle tops you see people wearing, massive. Rarely see people in, you see people in Sunderland like jackets or coats or whatever, but you very rarely see somebody in a Sunderland top.
I grew up in Durham, it's been the same there for a while, isn't it?
So it'd be nice to, you know, I'm sure people want to buy them, but just got to make sure that, you know, we've done this, which I think is a positive thing, because it'll definitely get a lot of buy-in from supporters. And hopefully we, you know, the kits are readily available.
Well, it's an easy, if done right, it's an easy win PR wise and financially, isn't it?
Get them out there for, you know, as soon as possible, 1st of June, whatever it may be, and get them on sale so people can get them for the holidays, and all that kind of thing. Like they used to, like back in the day, it was always a big thing when the kits came out, and you know, you'd see families of people who've gone into the town and bought the kits, and they're all got them on, like, you know,
that,
three, four, five people.
Well, my birthday's in August, so I always used to get the new kit for my birthday every year, and it was
mine's in July,
the
so
part of the thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
So I used to get, sometimes I'd get the kit. So,
yeah,
so let's hope that they get that in order and, you know, fingers crossed, you know, it's a positive step from a commercial point of view, I think. But I think we'll leave it there because really,
it's not,
you know, there's not a lot else to talk about at the moment.
Just reiterate, Saturday was a good performance, good win. Some promising performances from some key players and some new ones as well. So as far as on the pitch goes, happy days with the most recent couple of results, I'd say. Because that Leeds game, I mean, obviously, would have been nice to have won it, nicked it like Blackburn did. But I think, obviously, being at the game, it felt like a really good result coming out. Because obviously, like, you know, you've got all the banter with the Leeds fans and the atmosphere was great in the away end and stuff. So I was really buzzing about it. But obviously, as time goes on, you sort of think, well, it was really just another draw. But I did enjoy it. And I think we backed it up nicely on Saturday. So basically, we've got 9 more points to play for. So let's try and get 7 to 9 points, I guess. Yeah. There's no big teams left, is there?
So somebody, probably Matt and somebody else, will be back on Thursday to preview the Millwall game. We've got Millwall, is that right?
Yeah, Millwall on Saturday. Yeah.
Millwall on Saturday. So keep an eye on your feed to that. And as always, thank you very much for listening.